The Balalaika and the Samovar by Christopher D. Ux. Once upon a time, there was a balalaika. She was made of coarse and splintering maple and strung with old sheep gut. But she was a magic balalaika and could make music so beautiful as to inspire cowards to bravery and bring tears to the eyes of the most heartless taskmaster. But the serfs of Balalaika's village were forced to work hard, day after day, with little rest. They simply have no time for music, Balalaika said. So Balalaika left her village and took to the road toward Moscow. Over hill and valley, league after league, Balalaika traveled, searching for someone to play her. One day at a crossroads, Balalaika met a samovar. He was made of dull and dented pewter and old scratched glass, but he was a magic samovar and could brew teas that protected the body from the bitterest Siberian winter and soothed the soul better than any medicine. But the serfs of Samovar's village were only allowed to grow potatoes and make vodka. They had nothing worthwhile for me to brew, Samovar cried to Balalaika. Balalaika replied, I am heading to Moscow, looking for someone that I may serve. Perhaps you may find someone as well. So the two set off anew toward Moscow. At a fork in the road, they met a lonely man humming a sad tune. Balalaika and Samovar greeted him, and he replied, My name is Pyotr. His voice was rough, cracked from his travels on long, dry roads. Samovar found wild mint growing along the side of the road and made him some tea. Drink my tea, said Samovar. With just a single sip of Samovar's tea, Pyotr's voice returned. And what a captivating voice it was. After Pyotr drank all of Samovar's magic tea, his deep voice sang so sweetly, why, even the animals of the wild came out of their hidey holes to listen. Balalaika could hardly contain herself. Play a song on me, she begged. Pyotr picked up the instrument like it was a long-lost lover and made music that charmed the flowers of the tundra to blossom early. So together the three set out to seek their fortune. The happy trio visited many a village on the way, playing their songs and making their concoctions. Everywhere they went, they were welcomed with celebrations. But they could never stay long. We are on our way to Moscow, they said. Every village they left was sad to see them leave, but word of the wondrous bard, his enthralling music and healing teas, spread before them faster than the wind over the steppes. The more they traveled, villages became towns, and towns became cities. Celebrations became fanfares, and fanfares became full-blown festivals in their honor. Soon, news of Pyotr the bard reached the ears of the Tsar, far away in Moscow. Now the Tsar had a daughter, the Tsarina Svetlana. Svetlana was as beautiful as the dawn over the mountains, and possessed a laugh that made anyone who heard it forget about the cares of this troubled world. But since the passing of her mother, the Empress, Svetlana was inconsolable. Her beauty was marred by grief, and her voice was spoiled from weeping. Oh, the Tsar had minstrels, jugglers, and jesters aplenty. He even had a wizard who coveted the hand of Svetlana. But no one, nor anything they did, could make Svetlana happy, not even the cunning and jealous wizard. So when Pyotr, Balalaika, and Samovar finally arrived in Moscow, the Tsar immediately sent for them. He proclaimed that whosoever could make Svetlana laugh again would be given her hand in marriage and all his kingdom. Fail, and the petitioner would be banished to the wastes of Siberia. Without a moment's hesitation, Pyotr accepted, but the jealous wizard demanded that he try first. The Tsar, desiring the contest to be as fair as possible, agreed, but commanded that they use the same tools. Well, Balalaika and Samovar didn't care for that one bit. They loved Pyotr. They certainly didn't like the wizard. But they dared not disobey the Tsar. Now, about this wizard, did you ever know someone who was so smart that they didn't know how to tie their own shoelaces? Well, the Tsar's wizard was one of these people. He was powerful in the ways of his craft, but he was woefully ignorant of the simplest things in this world, things that even the village idiot would know. The wizard snatched Balalaika and Samovar from Pyotr. He tried to strum the samovar and make tea in Balalaika. What a silly wizard. When he played samovar, his pewter scratched and his glass shattered. When he boiled water in Balalaika, her wood turned to ashes. Pyotr and all of Moscow were horrified. What have you done to my friends? Pyotr cried. And Svetlana wept tears more bitter than ever. The Tsar was incensed and demanded his wizard make things right again before sending him to Siberia. The wizard, angry but embarrassed beyond words, cast a mighty spell. He disappeared in a flash of fire and smoke, and lo and behold, in his place, there were Balalaika and Samovar, not only unharmed, but better than ever. Balalaika was no longer made of old rotting maple, but of the finest rosewood, and she was strung with cords stolen from the harps of angels. Samovar's pewter and glass were replaced with fine silver and crystal. As for the wizard and his spell, not only did he make himself disappear, why, he was so embarrassed that he made every trace of his name disappear from history as well. But now it was Pyotr's turn. He and Samovar made a tea with an aroma so inviting, Svetlana drank it all down. It was so hearty, wholesome, and healing that it brought the rosy color back to Svetlana's cheeks. Then Pyotr played a ballad on Balalaika, so strange and silly that Svetlana laughed until she was out of breath. Pyotr and Svetlana were married that very day. Svetlana learned how to make teas even better than Pyotr. Not only that, she taught Samovar music by drumming on his bass and whistling on his spout. So Pyotr and his Balalaika, Svetlana and her Samovar, all four of them, made wonderful music together, and they lived happily ever after.